Hello, hello, everyone, and welcome back. Today is Friday, March 9th, 2012. My name is Angela Walton-Raji, and this is the African Roots Podcast. Remember, you can always reach me at africanrootspodcast@gmail.com. Well, how is everyone doing today? I hope you've had a great week. Different things are going on. Events are taking place. And you know, hey, it is spring and the season is perking up. By the way, don't forget to change your clocks. If you live in a community where the time changes, we jump ahead. It is spring. I love this time of year. Number one, the days are going to be longer. I don't know why it is, but I like long days. I like to see daylight. And so I'm really excited about that, even though I have to admit, it takes about 2 to 3 weeks for my body to adjust to that 1 hour time difference. Crazy. Doesn't make any sense. But anyway, don't forget, jump ahead. It's spring this weekend. Well, how's everybody doing? There are a lot of things going on. By the way, I want to remind you, if you're not aware or if you don't have time or haven't really noticed that every Thursday night there is a really neat radio show that you can tune into online. Why don't you tune into Blog Talk Radio, Bernice Bennett's show? It's called Research at the National Archives and Beyond. Last night she had a great show. I strongly recommend that you listen to it. She interviewed Marion Woodfork Simmons, who is the author of Memories of Union High, an Oasis in Caroline County, Virginia, 1903 to 1969. I recommend the book. Not because I have ties to Caroline County, Virginia, because they don't. But I like what she did. I, as well as many of you, are involved with documenting communities. You know, what we do as researchers, as genealogists, as family historians, we're telling stories. And as storytellers, we do not simply find our ancestors and put them on a chart. We tell the stories. We tell the stories of how they coped, how they survived, and how they survived in their communities. Well, the reason why I recommend that you listen to what Marion Woodfork Simmons did, because she captured the history of a community by telling the story of a school that lasted throughout at least the first half, the greater half of the 20th century, by capturing the history of this school. And I like it because she discussed her process. You know, many of us, and I've been to the archives many a time, where individuals get excited, and you know how we are. You know, we get excited the first time we find someone. Well, pardon me, the first time you find someone on the record, you know, you're excited. You're not exactly just sitting there going, you know, some of us get emotional. We kind of just, we make a little sound. We kind of go, oh my gosh, yes, we do the happy dance. Well, it's beyond that. We must see that we're telling the story of our ancestors in a context, in the context in which they lived, not only in time and time period or era, but also where they were geographically. And that's something that I think that we must all commit ourselves to doing. Well, many a time when I've been at the National Archives or any repository and I'm sitting near someone who is just overjoyed at having found someone or something that they hadn't noticed before, and the next thing after they've expressed their euphoria, then they'll say, oh my gosh, I need to write a book. Oh my goodness, wow, is this the beginning of a book? What have I found? I hear that often, but at the same time, I realize many of us really have no clue what we're talking about in terms of process, in terms of time, in terms of procedures, in terms of an outline. That's why I encourage you to listen to last night's show. It was great. She really discussed what she did, the people that she spoke to, how she had to put herself on a calendar, on a regimen in terms of how often she had to travel to the community to talk to people, what she did to earn their trust. And I've been talking about her book a bit because she's really summarized what I think many of us should consider doing, is telling the greater story. Unless you come from a family that is truly a famous family, well, most of us come from good people, good ordinary people, good Black folks. Well, how do we translate the stories of those good people into a story that others want to read? Keep in mind that many of us don't want to just hear the story of who begot whom. So that's why I am particularly excited at what she did. And I have found something that I'm going to continue to mention to people. We need to look at this as a model. This is what we're about doing. We're about telling the story. She told the story. Take a look at it. And once you find the story around which you have found some comfort, in her case, it was a story of a high school, then tell the greater story of what was going on with everyone, or what was happening to everyone in that region or vicinity. Great job, and it was a great show last night. And you can listen to Bernice's show every Thursday night, 9 p.m. if you want to listen to it live, but you can also listen to the archived version if you miss it. The one thing about Blog Radio, if you're listening to it live, you also have the option of joining a live chat with others, and that's a lot of fun. Also, you may want to consider on Friday nights joining us on the Afrogenius community. This is Friday. We are having a chat tonight, and on Afrogenius.com, you will find that we have chats every day, but it's usually sometimes during the day, people who have time, maybe they're retired and have time, or maybe they're on their lunch break at work and can join a few researchers to share what's going on with them or what they're doing. Friday nights, we have a special watching party. A watching party? Yes, I did say watching, meaning we're watching a program at the same time. Well, on Friday nights, we have the Who Do You Think You Are viewing party, the watching party. And we watch it from our own homes, wherever we are, and we're in the chat room at the same time. Now, granted, you can't look at the screen and look at the television. Obviously, when the program is airing, most of us are quiet because we are watching the television. But during the commercials, with all the little, adverts that are popping up, we're chattering with each other. Gee, what do you think about that document? I can't believe they didn't use gloves, and on and on and on. But it's a lot of fun because in some cases, some individuals may be familiar with the region, and it's fun for some of us because we do recognize some researchers from time to time in a state archives. It is interesting also for us to see what conclusions have been reached by the team of researchers and what is exactly presented to the guest. And as you know, the Who Do You Think You Are program does feature a number of celebrities that are learning about their own family history. So it is kind of interesting. We share things with each other, though, as a group, as a community. Afrogenius is a family of researchers, and you're welcome to always join us. Simply go to afrogenius.com/chat. When you get to the chat room, you simply log in with your name or initials and select Who Do You Think You Are. And of course, that's the acronym is WDYTYA, the initials for the show. And then just select it and join the chat. It's a lot of fun. Friday night, it's so funny, though. Well, maybe it's a sign of aging. Friday night used to be a, hey, let's go out and let's do something fun. Nowadays, Friday night is, oh, I've got to watch this program, followed by another radio program online as well, because many of us do go from watching the program together to the Genie Blockers radio program, which is another fun online genealogy radio program on Blog Talk Radio. Let's get on to some events. What's going on? This is March the 9th, as I said. Some interesting information for Virginia researchers. It was just shared. I picked something up on Twitter yesterday that someone pointed out that the Library of Virginia has acquired a special volume. I think this was won at an auction of a 19th century a ledger, I guess it was a ledger or a memorandum book, and this came from a town in Middlesex County. The town, I guess, is known as Jamaica or Jamaica Wharf, and apparently this was a volume reflecting Negro accounts, which is kind of interesting. I find even that term kind of interesting, but it's reflecting activities from the year 1838. Anytime you hear of a new record or record set or volume that has been acquired by any library or archives that was certainly pre-Civil War, this is very significant, particularly because we know the challenge that exists for us in documenting our ancestors in the pre-Civil War era, during the slavery era. So this is important. And even if you have ancestors, you might say, well, they weren't from Middlesex County. But you know what? If they're from neighboring counties, you never know exactly the movement that your ancestors may have made. And oftentimes the movement was, of course, not of their own volition. If they were people who were enslaved, they were often moved, and many times we don't know this. What's significant about this particular volume that has been acquired by the Library of Virginia is that accounts were kept with slaves actually beginning as early as 1836. And there are entries in this journal that actually go up to 1845. And this is information that lists data on the slave and the slaveholder. And some of it you might say, well, it's not necessarily giving me the families and the people, but you know, you still want to understand other details about their life and the types of things were purchases that were made, perhaps for those enslaved people, maybe foodstuffs or clothing or accessories. And these are ledgers that reflected the account balances that were made. So if there were some new tools that were needed for individuals to work in the field, a purchase of those tools to be used by those who were enslaved are listed in this volume. And so it does seem to be kind of interesting. Now, what I understand, the volume was just been purchased, so it doesn't mean that it's available to use. It was just purchased and it's not in great shape. I understand that there is some damage, maybe from moisture, perhaps from mold, and the spine is very delicate. So apparently the volume has just been acquired, and it was also used by someone in later years as a scrapbook. So there are things that were pasted over it. They've got to remove some of these items and separate the dried glue from the actual ledger page so the data can be actually later hopefully digitized after it has been preserved. I understand that one of the processes when old volumes like this are acquired by archives that they oftentimes put them into a freezer, not a freezer like we think of in our home, but they put them in something in a freeze-dried method where they're able to separate some things from the original surface of the paper, which is a fascinating process to think about as well. However, the volume has been acquired, so after it undergoes conservation treatment, and of course at the Library of Virginia they do have individuals who are preservationists. Well, once that process of preservation is completed, they will be able to reformat it. They are planning to share this with the Middlesex County Museum. It will also be added to the Library of Virginia's online catalog, and then once that's happened, it will be available for public use. Will it be digitized? I don't know. But those of you who have a strong interest in Virginia and Virginia research, if digitization is not necessarily on their list of things to do, maybe you can nudge the preservationists at LVA to encourage that. But be aware that it's there. You know, it's a good idea if you subscribe to a newsletter or you are actively involved with being a part of any archives or archival facility, consider becoming a friend of that historical society or that archive or that library, because you find out what's going on. And as a member, and sometimes there's a cost involved, but you're investing in the future and you're investing in the preservation effort. You may want to consider doing that so you can also have a voice. But it is important to be aware of this, because this is going to shed a lot of light in terms of certain things that we don't always think of. And we've got to think more than just names and who begot whom. This one is going to share information on a little bit of the lives of those who were enslaved and how they had to deal with other individuals beyond the overseers and masters. You know, oftentimes the details of individuals are not always known. And that's why we must also put certain books in our own personal libraries. You know, one of the things that we read a lot about are, some of us read the depositions that our ancestors have made, but read some of the books that historians recorded. You know, the Black Family and Slavery and Freedom sometimes sheds a lot of insight in terms of a variety of things, from naming practices to other aspects of life. This is by Herbert Goodman. This is a book you should be aware of. And in spite of some people who may have made efforts to pass judgments on such books in terms of whether they're relevant to genealogists, you know, no. We've got to take a look at the scholarship that has been done and pay attention to the kinds of information that we can glean and take some of those generalities and see if they apply to your ancestors in the communities and places where they lived. We are in the situation of telling those stories, and all tools that we can use to tell those stories are significant. I hope that you all become aware. Just put it in your little memo book of something to add if you're going to the Library of Virginia. Become aware of the fact that this new volume has been acquired. 6 months from now, hopefully the preservation process will have ended for the volume and some of the damaging mold will have been removed. Start to ask about it. Become aware of it. Again, be aware of what this is. This is a 19th century book from Middlesex County reflecting the community around Jamaica or Jamaica Wharf, which is a town in Middlesex County. And let me give you the official title. As I understand, it's a book about Negro accounts. It's called Memorandum Book for the Purpose of Keeping Account of Negro Accounts from the Year 1838. Be aware of it. Ask about it from time to time. The more that the archivists know that people from the community are interested, then there may be an effort, hopefully, to even have it digitized, and because they have a wonderful online site as well. So become aware of that anyway. Tomorrow, I want to mention that the Middle Peninsula African American Genealogical and Historical Society is having their monthly meeting. They meet every month, the second Saturday of the month, in Tappahannock, Virginia. And this is on U.S. Highway 17. Essex Public Library is where they have their meetings. You know, whenever I go down to the Virginia Tidewater area, I don't typically take Interstate 95 and then get to wherever it is in Middle Virginia and then take 64. I take what I call the scenic route. I come from the greater Baltimore area, and so I take 301 South, which is an old state highway, and cross the Potomac, and then I take 17 South, which is a beautiful country road, country highway. It is a well-kept road, not heavily traveled, and beautiful. The route is amazing. Well, I drive through that area. I drive through Tappahannock, Virginia. And anyone who has ancestral ties to, I would say, Caroline County on southward to what people may call the Middle Peninsula. My goodness, Route 17, gorgeous. And I had a chance last year, almost a year ago this year, because it was in March of last year, I went down to that area. And I was, for some reason, I guess I saw that area with new eyes. I was amazed at how many historical homes and estates there were. Plantations that were just lining. All right, I'm exaggerating. But there were so many historical markers pointing you to historical estates. And of course, every time you see an historic estate, keep in mind, and of course, it's beautiful farmland all the way down, keep in mind that, you know, 150 years ago, those fields were full of enslaved people tilling the soil. And it's almost as I was driving down, I could almost sort of hear the voices of people saying, you know, don't forget us, you know, call our names. Start as you travel through the countryside, when you see those old estates, when I even see a place where you maybe can't see the home, but you see the double row of trees, which was often very, very common at historic homes and the homes of sort of the landed gentry. They often had the double row of trees that lined the road that led to their estate, to their domicile. Oftentimes you're looking at the road that led to the big house. And I just often wonder, you know, how many voices of people are sort of there, sort of speaking, you know, from the fields, the ghosts of those people. Now, no, I'm not that creepy, but I still say that. The spirits of those ancestors who worked the fields. You know, many of us do believe that so many roads lead back to Virginia. Are some of those places the places where our ancestors toiled? That history, that part of the country is rich. Those of you who have ties in or near an hour's drive of Tappahannock, you know, go and join that community and go and sit in on their meetings. You may be surprised what resources that they use and they can share with you. Wonderful information. I want to also mention on the 24th, I believe it is the 24th, I want to get the right day, of March, yes, at the Enipret Library in Baltimore, there is going to be a genealogy expo, which the Agnes Kane Callum chapter of the African American Historical Genealogical Society is going to be presenting a genealogy expo. This will be an opportunity to meet and talk with others who are at various stages of their own genealogy research. You may want to bring your own research if you have questions, brick wall issues. Come and look and see. There will be a session for beginners who want some beginning tips in terms of getting started. I will be giving a session on blogging and looking at the blogging community and what blogging can do as a platform of sharing your research and telling your own stories. There are going to be a number of things. Some people are going to be sharing how they have presented their research in terms of a family book. Come and join us. As I said, it's March 24th at the Enipret Library, the branch on Cold Spring and Lock Raven Boulevard. So there's something there. There are a number of things coming up. Mark your calendars for an event on the 6th of May. So yeah, a couple of months out. But the annual conference at the Family History Center in Kensington, Maryland is coming up, and that'll be a lot of fun. You'll have a chance to hear Bernice Alexander Bennett, yes, the host of the radio show that we all listen to on Thursdays. We'll be giving a presentation on homestead records. Marga Williams, who many of us know, is going to be talking about her ancestor, Miles Lassiter, whom she had learned was one of the lesser known but still one of the early African American Quakers. And she'll be talking about her research journey, how she came to find out a little bit about his history. And this gentleman, this Quaker gentleman, lived in Randolph County, North Carolina. Not well-known history, fascinating thing. Also, that same event, those of you who are interested in listening to a very popular person in the greater genealogical community. Dear Myrtle is also going to be at that same event. She will be offering the pros and cons of genealogy technology. It's a subject that I also enjoy because I think that many of us need to get connected, get wired, get online, see what's there. And how can you take advantage of the useful websites and the databases and become familiar with what Google Earth can do for you? And so it's going to be just a great day that's coming up in May. So put that on your calendar. By the way, those of you who are anywhere near the state of Arkansas, I hope you're going to be busy tomorrow, because tomorrow the Arkansas chapter of the African American Historical Genealogical Society is having a really big day. They are going to be having a workshop on a subject that particularly interests me, and that is Civil War. Many of you know that I research. I have a blog devoted to the United States Colored Troops, the African American soldiers. I tend to focus on many of the soldiers who fought in the Western theater of the Civil War, meaning the Trans-Mississippi, the other side of the Mississippi River, but not exclusively that. However, tomorrow at the Mosaic Templars Cultural Center, they're having an annual workshop in Little Rock, and their presentation is going to be The Forgotten, Arkansas's African American Soldiers of the Civil War. It's tomorrow at the Mosaic Cultural Center, which is, as you know, on 9th and Broadway, if you know Little Rock, and it's going to go on from 9 to 2. But I do hope that you will have a chance to go. Also, Arkansas chapter, they do so many wonderful things. I'm excited that they, along with a whole lot of other genealogical societies around the country, are involved in the 1940 United States Census Community Project. You know what's happening less than a month from now, and I'm sitting here clapping in the background here. We all know what's going to happen on April 2nd at 9 a.m. Eastern Time. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, well, wake up and get with it. The 1940 census is being unveiled. Well, there is a 1940 Census Community Project. Right now, the census is going to be available, but it is not indexed. It's going to be something that is going to initiate, but it's going to take several months before there will be a complete index of the entire federal census. Well, after the images are released, there is going to be an effort to get the entire census indexed. And this will be something that will be available. By the way, it's going to be hosted on archives.com, not .gov. And there is going to be an initiative that has been launched actually by Family Search International, as well as findmypast.com, willing to get people as volunteers to help to index this. This is going to be a resource that's going to be available to everyone, and it's going to be valuable to everyone in almost every country, because people have emigrated to places all over the world. People are often using the records. We're all waiting for it. Everyone is looking forward to the release of this census. And so if you can help with the indexing project, please join it. I was excited to see that my folks in Arkansas are getting volunteers. You may want to find out what's going on in your community. You yourself must consider volunteering as well. By the way, how much are you paying attention to what's happening online? Are you aware of the different communities that are popping up? I, of course, always speak very strongly about the blogging community, but Facebook has a lot of groups online. There are now different societies. They have their own Facebook communities. Afrogenius has a presence on Facebook. There is a new book. Actually, there's a new community, rather, not book. There's a community that's really mushrooming called Our Black Ancestry. If you just go to Facebook and then go to the search bar and type in some of these communities, type in African American genealogy, you'll be amazed to see what's there. Join them. You you may be able to find some other people who are involved with researching the very same communities that you are researching. And it is something that is very, very important to be just aware of what's going on. And I encourage you all to just interact and explore. You'd be surprised the stories that are emerging, and become at least comfortable with interacting with people. You don't have to join every group that you see, but every other week or so, click on Facebook. Well, I live on Twitter. I keep that up all the time, and I guess I could give a separate presentation about that. But I think that you should be, at least be aware in terms of what is going on and what is taking place in the larger community. There's a lot of great activity that's going on out there. I wanted to also mention, pay attention, there are a lot of good announcements that are going on. Take note that with the activities that are taking place, that there are some new conferences that are emerging. There are some calls for papers that are out there. You may want to consider submitting. I'm not going to go into all details. And of course, pay attention to an interesting thread that has come up. There have been calls for papers that many I know have responded to. And there is a concern, however, that some of those calls for papers are not always yielding the opportunities that people may hope to have. And you may want to at least be aware of the dialogue, pay attention to that thread that is taking place on Facebook in particular. There are some individuals who are exploring the issues that are available or that are not available to professional genealogists of color. And we must be, of course, proactive in everything that we do. And in spite of what may appear to be an obstacle on one level, certainly is also an opportunity for us to become active and proactive on other levels. But pay attention to some of those threads. Some interesting dialogue is taking place there. We must always take a look at what is transpiring in terms of just, I guess, the community, where there is growth, where there is energy. I'm excited to see there are some new people who are entering the blogging community. By the way, I want to mention two blogs that have caught my attention this week. One of them just caught my attention just yesterday, and I was very excited to see it. Many of you know Melvin Collier, a well-known author and genealogist. Well, he has finally launched his blog, and his blog, which is really, really, really an exciting blog to see. It's called Roots Revealed. And this is really rootsrevealed.blogspot.com. I'm putting a link for you there so you can have a chance to take a look at that. Because particularly there's something that's going on in terms of the stories and the treasures. What I loved about his blog is that he took a wonderful photograph, which is the part of the header on his blog. You see that when you get to his site, Roots Revealed, you'll see this beautiful family portrait. And it's, gosh, there must be 20 plus people in the photograph. The picture was taken, I guess, around the turn of the 20th century. And oh my goodness, it's wonderful. It coming from a community in Prattsville, Arkansas is the name. I was trying to think of the name, which is a small community south, going south around Grant County, Arkansas. And just kind of a neat thing to see in terms of the history. Well, the beauty of the photograph speaks for itself, but I was excited because he presented it in a really neat way. He was saying, look at this picture. Here's the community. He gave a little bit about the history of the particular family, the Danners, who had ties in Mississippi, some of whom migrated into Arkansas, some of whom were taken to Arkansas during the years when they were enslaved, but this family that has originally South Carolina roots. And as you know, many of our families have coastal roots before they became families that were based in geographically in the middle of the country. And anyway, it's something that I was just so thrilled to see. I was just thrilled to see, number one, I was so glad to see that Melvin is blogging, but also in terms of looking at a way to make us re-examine the treasures that we have. The picture itself was wonderful, and then he and I spoke later last night and talked about some of the details on the photograph. Take a look at the fact that, you know, there's one who may not be a member of the family. All the women were dressed a certain way. Everyone had come from an event. They were all wearing badges, and there were so many fascinating details there. Anyway, take a look at it. I am so thrilled that he's blogging and he's part of the community. I saw another blog, and I guess I like the blog, number one, because I do like to write. And this one also caught my attention. And this is a woman who's primarily a writer. She blogs about her journey as a writer. She sees herself teaching writers. But she had something that caught her name. Her name is Andrea Kumbo, and I hope I pronounced her name properly. And she has a blog called, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing it properly, andilit.com, andilit.com. And again, she's a writer. She's not saying that, you know, she's a specialist in African-American genealogist, but she has an amazing project that she's turned from her own experience into writing about this. She writes about many topics, and she writes topics to assist writers, but she has a beautiful video that she just posted this week, and the video is called, well, she calls her post on her blog, Hanging the Story on Images, a video about her project. Well, she is actually putting to life, so to speak, stories that have long been buried literally in the soil or on the soil, in the soil where she lives. She lives on an old estate. And when I say the estate, I mean an old plantation. And the plantation itself, it's in Central Virginia. And there is on this estate a slave cemetery. And she's passed by this cemetery. She has seen this cemetery for many, many years. And who knows, maybe the voices of the former slaves, maybe they've been speaking to her, but she's decided to write about it. And she also took some of the images from the cemetery and what remains of the cemetery, and she's put it to a small video. And I'm going to put a link to it on the podcast website so you can see it. And I guess I was particularly moved when I saw it because, you know, these are people who have a legacy on the same land. We all share the same land. And I particularly just appreciated the fact that she, you know, took an old stone, you know, covered almost or partially covered by leaves and grass. And she realizes, you know, this is a person who lived and died on this very soil. These are the individuals upon whose lives the landowners were able to make their living. And it's a story that needs to be told. And I appreciate her for seeing that story. I appreciate her for sharing it. So I'm putting a link to it again. You know, as we often go, we visit cemeteries. I love to visit cemeteries because I just appreciate the stories that are lying there. You know, I hope many of us can take, even if you're just taking still pictures, you can put those in a slide presentation and tell a lot of stories by looking at those stones. Well, you know, I also encourage all of us to do that. Take a look at it. As I said, she's a writer. And as a writer, though, she took a little time and shared it. I happen to have stumbled upon it somehow on a link that I saw on Twitter. And I said, wow, this is great. I wanted to share that with you. So, you know, this is the fantastic part of being online and connected. Whoa, I just looked at the time. I've been going on quite a bit, and I think it's time for me to sort of wind down. Wow. I hope that you certainly are able to get some ideas, though, from some of the links that I've posted here. And I hope you've gotten some ideas to help you tell your story. Anyway, you know, I appreciate you for being there. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for just, you know, taking some time out of your day to listen. And, you know, share with the rest of us what you're doing. You know, shoot me an email at africanrootspodcast@gmail.com. Let me know what you're doing. I can share it with others. And of course, please continue to do what you do. And you know what that is. Keep researching, keep documenting, and always keep sharing what you find. Have a great week, everyone. Take care, be well, be safe, and I'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.